You know, I hope that in your journey of faith, wherever you are in relationship to a relationship with God, that that you would at least understand, well, there's lots of things you should understand, but that you understand that God has designed you to do good things for his kingdom. You know, God, he sees all of the brokenness in this world, and he does promise to make all things new one day. But until that time, he is working in his world through his people to further his plan and kingdom. And that means you and I. He uses us, you know, and part of our journey as a church is to reach out into our community to help them understand who God is, to be the light in the world. And because we, the kids and families in our community, the people that we reach, they're part of that plan. We do not understand and know, you know, who responds to the gospel. We do not know that. But we're called to love our neighbors. We're called to invest in people. And on that journey, sometimes we think that we are just maybe perhaps a random accident, or maybe we feel like we're insignificant. But that's not what God teaches about humans. He teaches that we're all designed for an important purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we need to know and understand that our identities are created by God, and we have a purpose on this planet, and that purpose is actually predetermined by God. It's to do good things, in this world for his sake, for the kingdom. And he made us exactly who we are. He placed us exactly where we are supposed to be his representatives for good in this broken world. Our existence was planned by God. We are not useless. We are not meaningless. We are not purposeless. I know that I wrestled, and I've shared this before, but when I was about 16, I remember sitting on the edge of my bed in my room wondering what life is all about. I felt insignificant. I felt sort of useless, that there was no purpose in life. I wondered, you know, is life just about being born, being raised in the family, going to high school, finding a girl, getting married, having children, then die? And everything gets passed on to the next. I did not understand that there is a purpose for my life. God has a divine and inspired plan for each and every one of us. Actually, what God calls us is he calls us his ambassadors. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so when we live our lives for him, he promises to work in us and through us. And we are to live like Jesus lived, serving, loving, instructing, helping, healing, ministering to people in their broken condition in our broken world. You know, I was reminded of the story of a pastor who was out walking in his town when he walked by this house, and he noticed that there was a little boy standing on the porch of the house, and he was trying to ring the doorbell, and the boy was just so short that he couldn't actually reach the doorbell. And the pastor, being a kind, helpful kind of man, servant, you know, always wanting to extend a helping hand, he went up to the little boy, asked him what the problem was, and he just said, I can't reach the doorbell. And the pastor said, let me do it for you. And so the pastor started to ring the doorbell, and nobody was coming, and he rang it a little bit more. And then the man asked the little boy, you know, what do we do now? And the little boy looked at him and said, now we run like crazy. That's what the kid wanted to do. What did we call that? Nicky Nine Doors? Am I saying it right? How many of you have ever done that? Oh, come on. It's like busted, right? But have you ever felt like that? Like there's that moment of panic when you're asked to do something, when you're actually asked to serve or do good works. Have you ever felt that panic and you just want to run? You know, you if you've been asked that, maybe you do want to run like crazy when you've been asked to do good works. But then there's others that are really super eager to serve because they have sort of settled that good works issue in their life. And this morning, we're going to sort of dive into this inspiring passage in Ephesians, and hopefully it'll motivate us to do what we're actually made to do. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's work, our handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so we're going to unpack this verse. And so the first thing that I notice answers the who question. We are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork. You know, that word handiwork in the Greek sounds like our English word for poem, and it refers to something that is composed or constructed. It was used to refer to any kind of work of art, whether it is a statue, a song, a poem, a painting, you know, and the emphasis is on God and brings us back to actually the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created. You and I, we are masterpieces. We have been created by God, and God has produced in each and every one of you, you have been created in his image. And as such, because of that, you have value, you have worth, you have dignity. You really are an original, one-of-a-kind person. Deuteronomy 32, verse 6 says, is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. God delights in you because he designed you just the way that he wants you to be. It's an amazing thing to think about. And God, he breaks out in song when he thinks about you because you are the ones who display his splendor. You are the ones that bring him glory. You know, sometimes over the years, I ask myself the question, why don't some people like to serve? Why don't people like to give of themselves and use their gifts and abilities and talents to serve? You know, and when I ask that question, a number of responses, they start to form in my mind, but one answer comes always right to the top. People will serve when they fall more deeply in love with Jesus. And that is because service, it really is an outflow of a growing relationship with Jesus. It is true that being leads to doing, not the other way around. Servants serve because of their devotion to Jesus. What we do actually must flow from who we are. And the motivation for ministry must be love for Jesus. That's why I can stand and talk to you about Trevor, who drove an hour and a half to serve. Now, that's no greater than anybody that was here serving in that capacity last night or on Friday night. It's an amazing thing when somebody gives up their time, their energy, their money to travel to give of themselves and their lives. They serve because of their devotion to Jesus. And what we do must flow from who we are. The motivation for our ministry, it has to be love for Jesus. And there is a danger we face anytime we start talking about this idea of good works and serving, is that oftentimes you can feel either guilty for serving or for not doing more and not doing more, or we can run like crazy and just be overwhelmed with doing things and serving in ministry. That can be a real danger. And the key for us to understand is that we must grow in our love for Jesus. And when we understand that he has made us to be the way that we are a masterpiece. That's how he's created each and every one of us. You are loved more than you can imagine. You are treasured more than you know, because simply you matter to God. You matter to God. In his classic book called The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis writes, "Prop yourself up with and for Christ. If you wish to live with Christ, if just once you could perfectly enter the inner life of Jesus and experience a little of his passionate love, then you would not care at all about what you might gain or lose in life." And what he's communicating to us is that we need to let his love for us and our response to him become the motivation for our ministry. You know, our next season of ministry, whatever that looks like over the next 10 years, it's all hands on deck. That's how I see it. It's going to require all of us to make sure that our motivation for it's all about Jesus. Because we are his masterpiece, we need to savor our relationship with him and serve accordingly. But our passage goes on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus. And the word created means to bring something into existence, and is used in the New Testament to describe God's creativity. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are not only his masterpiece, but the Bible says that you are a new creation. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 gets right to the heart of this truth. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." And in Galatians 6 also adds, "What counts is the new creation." Over my years, I've listened to countless sermons. And probably one of the most powerful sermons that I've ever read was preached by Evie Hill. I think I got a picture of Evie Hill. There he is. It's an older picture, of course. And he starts by asking the question, "When was God at his best?" It's an interesting question to ask of God. When was God at his best? And then Evie Hill sort of unpacks the scripture, you know. Was it at creation when he created the world out of nothing? You know, and then he takes you through sort of the Old Testament, unpacking all the truths of that. And then, you know, he talks about the Passover, and he explains Exodus, and he ends up in Bethlehem, and he's asking this question, you know, was God at his best when he sent his son to be born? And then he reflects on the resurrection, and when he finishes telling the resurrection story, pointing out that God destroyed death, he defeated the devil, made our salvation secure. And to each one of those things, he said, "No, they are not the greatest thing that God ever did." And so you start to scratch your head at your point and go like, well, what is it? What is the greatest thing that God ever did? And this is how he concluded his message. "The greatest thing God ever did was to save a 7-year-old black boy on a dirt road in Alabama, and that boy was me. So when we read a passage of scripture like 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we read that little phrase, in Christ, those two words summarize what salvation is all about. Once we put our faith in him, we belong to him. He made you as his masterpiece, and then he bought you with a price. You have literally been created, and you have been recreated. You have been born twice, and so there is no question in Scripture about whom you belong to. And once we figure out who we are and what God has done, then we can figure out why we are here. And that gets to the heart of our purpose in life. Rick Warren, he writes, without a purpose, life is motion without meaning. So let's go back to our passage. It says that we are to do good works. And that word good means something that is, it's profitable and that benefits others. And that word work reminds us that it involves actually effort because by nature, we are selfish and we're focused primarily on three people, me, myself, and I. And some of us, we shy away from this idea of good works because we know that we are not saved by what we do. And that's true. But we're all called to care because of God's grace that it's actually at work in our lives. We have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And good works are not the root of salvation, but they really are the fruit of a saving faith. They are not the way of salvation, but they are the walk of salvation. Listen to these verses. Matthew writes, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know, and I was doing a little bit of reminiscing. I'm sitting in my office and I'm thinking of all the events over the history of DVBC. You know, even before I came here, there was a lot of things that this church family accomplished. You know, everything from trips to Haiti to our Voltage Kids ministry, from our Light Up the Night October events to our Christmas events. And I ask myself the question, why do we do this? Simply, it's because we've been saved to serve. We've been created to care. We've got a huge challenge on our hands in the future because our community is changing around us. And if we don't adjust to that, we will become insignificant. And I don't want to miss that. We need to understand that we are made on purpose, with a purpose, for a purpose. In other words, whether you believe it or not, you are not an accident. You're not here just to take up space and oxygen. You actually have a mission. You have a journey. You have a path to walk on. We have one life, and because of that, we have one life. We have to do something with it. But what is that something? What's the something? God has not only told us who we are, what he has done, and why we're here. He determines where we are to do those good works. It says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this literally means to make ready beforehand. We could say it this way. God has not only prepared us for good works, he has prepared good works for us. So those works have already been prepared for each and every one of us. And the deeds that God wants us to do, they've actually been decreed beforehand. And it's an amazing truth that our good works have been prepared for us even before we were born. Jeremiah 1, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ephesians chapter 1 teaches that we are predestined to salvation. Ephesians 2:10 says that where we serve actually has been predetermined. We are not here by accident. Our deeds are selective. Now we must make sure we do them. That phrase, to do, is actually translated walk in some translations, some versions. And it literally means to go here and there or tread all around. And that truth actually gives me great comfort because I don't have to search hard for what God wants me to do every day. I just need to walk in the ways that he has prepared for me. It's really not up for us to go out and figure out what we should do for God. God has already taken care of that. It's up to us to find out what God has for us to do. And, you know, sometimes I wonder how many times I've missed, you know, the good works of God, the works that he has actually prepared for me to do due to my selfishness, you know, due to my busyness, due to my sinfulness. You know, sometimes our choices lead to missing out on the blessing of being a blessing to someone else, just simply because I have my own choices that I want to make. And so I want to wrap this up with just a few thoughts. The first one is make sure your doing comes out of your being. You know, when we're growing in grace, we can then give out in grace, not because we have to, but because we want to. Working for God, serving God, doing good works for God is an honor. It's not a bother. The second thing is small is often bigger than the big. You know, we all like to minister in lights. We like to do really big things. But we need to remember that everything is great in which God is the source of. If he has prepared a good work for you to walk in, then it's never too small for the Savior. You just need to do it. Another thought is that we need to pray so that we know what God has prepared for us to do. You know, if there's anything that we need to begin doing, if we haven't been doing already over this next season, I'm trying to discern that. I'm trying to figure it out. But if I don't pray over that, I'm missing the boat. We need to ask ourselves, God, to God every day, you know, what good works have you prepared for us today? And help me to do whatever you've decreed. Be curious about interruptions, because most of the time they're actually opportunities that God has prepared for you. God has some good works prepared for you right here at DBBC. A book that this church family read before I was here, that's like over 10 years ago, is the next point. It's just simply walk across the room. You know, to break it down to its simplest, a walk consists of two simple steps that's repeated over and over again. So instead of talking to someone that you already know, go up to someone you don't know and begin a conversation. Engage your neighbor if you've never done that before. Talk to the grocery store clerk, you know, the person that's serving you. Just use your journey as a springboard to building relationships. And then another thing, the last thing is simply do the next thing. Sometimes we get overwhelmed because it seems so complicated and difficult to serve. And if you think that because I'm a pastor somehow it's easier for me, it's not. I fight all the time with feeling like I'm doing too much. And I wrestle with it. We wrestle with it at home. But one of the things that I have learned is one of the best things you can do is just simply do the next thing. And if you're asked to serve, serve. That's the next thing. Just do it and do it to God's glory. And if you know what that next thing is, then just do it. Make sure it happens. That's how the kingdom works. Remember that God has made us exactly who we are, and he's placed us exactly where we are to be so that we will be his representatives for God in the broken world, in this broken world. Our passage says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. Father, as we close our service today, I want to thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus, that he brought salvation to us, that he has placed us in a family, that he has given us gifts and abilities and talents. And I'm grateful that we are called your handiwork. And Father, times are changing. And I pray that you would help us in that change understand that we belong to you, that you have purpose for us, that we're not an accident, we're not a mistake, but we are valued and loved and given purpose by you. And Father, I pray that we would understand that we are a blessed people. And so as we sing this last song, the blessing, that we would soak it in, that we would worship you, but we would believe the truth that we are valuable to you. In Jesus' name, amen.